Dorothy Cook, Platinum President of Godmother, Houston, Texas, on this wonderful Wednesday.
Amen, amen. If you haven't had the chance, please share your name, where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Ronnie from Tacoma, Washington.
Good morning. Good morning. If you haven't had the chance, go ahead. This is the moment to share your name and where you're calling from. Well, my name is Bonita. I'm here in New Jersey, and I'm here to tell you this Wednesday, God has it worked out. Did you hear me say worked? It's done. It is done. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. And those thoughts and plans are good. He says, Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil. It's nothing bad, y'all. It's all good. I'm excited to hear the message today. I am running around here because this messenger is just, he just fills my spirit. Not that everyone doesn't have a message that fills me, but this messenger really moves me. The tonality, the things that this person stands on, the principles, it is just awesome to know people like that and have people like that in your life. Amen? Well, I am going to move out of the way so that we can hear from the messenger. But before I do that, I want to just open this call up in prayer. So let's just go to our Father. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for letting us know that you are already have worked it out, that it is done. You wrote it down in your book, that we can go back and reference it and read it and know that it's worked out. Father, we thank you for getting us up this morning. We thank you that we had the enough gumption to get on this call to hear a good message from a great messenger. Father, we thank you for this platform to come here. We thank you for Artists International. We thank you for the Des de Leon family. We thank you for the co-founders. We thank you for the TMC call, Father, because here is where we can hear what you have for us, the promise that you made for us, Father. So we are just here in gratitude, not asking for anything, but just standing here with a smile on our face saying, thank you, Father, just for being you, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the all-knowing. How precious is that, our shepherd, and we are your sheep. Father God, we cover this call in your son's blood. We already know, Satan, you have no place, so we're not going to give you any time in this prayer, but we cover this call. We cover the messenger and the message that will come forth. We know you have anointed this individual. We know that you have put a message on this individual's heart that will just be for us. And we thank you for that, Father, that you have gone through this individual and it's going to come out to us. And we are now going to get out of that driver's seat, Father, and get in the passenger side. Matter of fact, we're going to get in the back seat so you can have full control, Father. This call is covered. This prayer is covered in your son's blood. Amen, amen, and amen. Sister Tiffany, are you out there? Good morning. Looking for my host this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. PK. Good morning. I will turn the call over to you.
God bless you. I thank God for you this morning. God is such an awesome, awesome God. You all, I am so excited about what he is doing in my life. Not only what he's doing in my life, but the shift that is taking place in the atmosphere. We welcome the Holy Spirit this morning on this call. I thank you for each of you on the call this morning. I love you, TMC family. But most of all, I want you to know that God says this is the very best time and best season to be worshiping Him and to be fully aware and sensitive to His voice, to His voice, to His voice. And so this morning, I want to just say to each and every one of you that all of the messages are recorded, recorded every day, and that you can get those messages on our email. And so at the end of the call, you're going to get all that information. But right now, I just want to go on and bring the man of God to the forefront, because sometimes I think we just get in the way of the word. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt that this man has a word for you. His name is Pastor Chuck Brown, and he comes to us out of Louisiana. But most important, he has been birthed by the blood of Jesus and covered down and poured into, so that he can pour back out to us. So I just ask that you get your pens and papers, but more so, open up your spirit so that you can receive what he has. Pastor Chuck, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We welcome you to the Master's Call, and we are so excited that you are with us. Speak to our spirits this morning and give us what God has given you. We welcome you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mama, and I appreciate you and Dr. Vanessa, founders of this call, and Godmother Cook, Dr. Cook, bless you. That's my sweetheart. I love that woman. And Sister Benita, you were just on it all day with the prayer and even with the comments that you made, and it confirmed the shift that the Lord has given me on this morning. I had been sharing on walking in the power of God, but when preparing for this call, the Lord shifted me in a different direction, and I just want to obey what the Lord has to say to us for the next few weeks. Romans 8, 35, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, reading out of the New Living Translation, the same word of God, just a different translation from the original script, and it reads, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, hear this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Let me read that again, verse 37. "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ that loved us." Amen. The Lord wants us to lead victorious lives. It is His will that His people have victory over sin, victory over lack, victory over poverty, victory over instability and stress and fear. He wants us to have victory in our relationships and in our marriages and in our families and even in our singleness. He wants us to have victory. And it's imperative to understand that we must walk in victory, because a victorious life gives an edge over the enemy. Having the understanding that victory is imminent changes our mindset about life. When we understand that we're supposed to be victorious, we are no longer comfortable with defeat. I need to say that again. When you get an understanding that you are supposed to be victorious, you'll never be comfortable with defeat. Once you get a taste of consecutive victories, defeat becomes foreign to you. I want somebody to just say, "I was created to be victorious. I was created to be victorious." We were designed to walk in total victory. We were created to be, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
We can't hear you well. Can you give us a little more volume?
Okay. Great. We were created. Can you hear me better now? Is it better now?
That's much better right there.
Okay, great. Do I need to start again, or did you hear me? You can hear.
No, start over, because it was just kind of, I was trying to see if it was me, but then somebody else, some more people start saying they couldn't hear you, so I said I better try to do this. I was struggling to hear you, but, yeah, start over. Let's do it.
Okay, great. I apologize. Romans 8 and 35 is our base scripture this morning. And again, the word was confirmed by Sister Benita, the shift that the Lord wants us to go in on this morning. Romans 8 and 35, can anything separate us, ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed. Every day we are being slaughtered like sheep. And verse 37 just blesses my spirit. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And that's Romans 8, verses 35 through 37, the New Living Translation. The Lord wants us to lead victorious lives. And I'm talking about victory over everything that's unlike him, victory over sin, victory over lack, victory over poverty and instability and stress and fear. He wants us to have victory in our relationships and marriages and our families and even in our singleness. God wants us to walk in and live a life of victory. And it's important that you walk in victory, because a victorious edge, a life, gives you an edge over the enemy. Having the understanding that victory is imminent changes your mindset about life. When you understand that you're supposed to be victorious, you no longer are comfortable with defeat. I mean, it becomes foreign to you. And I need you to just say this to yourself, that I was created to be victorious. I was designed to walk in victory. I was created for it. And we were created in Genesis. It lets us know that we were created to be in dominion, to be masters over, not slaves to. To be victorious, not hope for victory, not long for victory, but we are to be victorious. Too many folk, especially believers, are born around hoping that one day they will get victory over different areas in their lives, and they're going around wishing that their conditions would change, hoping that one day it would stop. But we are to be victorious in Christ, because we were created in the image of God. We are strikingly like him. We are a splitting image of him. We have the resemblance of God. And the image of God is a reflection of victory. In the beginning, God stepped out into darkness. He overcame the darkness by speaking into existence light. And when Pharaoh's army was behind the Hebrews and then the Red Sea was in front of them and mountains on each side of them, it was God that gave them the victory. It was God who gave victory to Joshua. It was God who gave victory to Gideon. It was God who gave victory to Samson and Ruth and Esther and David and Job and Jehoshaphat and Daniel and Elisha and Elijah and Peter, Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Barnabas. So if we are an image of God, then we should reflect the same attitude towards victory that he does. We should display the same perspective towards victory that he does. We serve a God who operates in victory and expects for us to do the same. So when we live in defeat, hear me, we are in essence making a mockery of the power that has been given to us through Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If the one that is on the inside is greater than the devil on the outside, then why don't we act like it? Why is it that we constantly fall apart? Why is it that we can't seem to get ahead? Why aren't our lives reflecting a victorious God? And listen to me well. I'm not talking about going through, because we all go through. I'm talking about how some people go in, but they never come out. They're like a roach motel. They check in, but they don't check out. They check into sickness, but never check out. At some point, you got to turn in the key and get out of the hotel that the devil has been holding you in for so long, because God never loses. Even when it looks like he's losing, he eventually shows that it was a part of a bigger plan. He's a master orchestrator. He's constantly putting us in strategic positions in order to make his next move. God is always in control, and y'all, he's never caught off guard. And so this series that I want to share today and start today is Habits of Highly Victorious People. Habits of Highly Victorious People. And it's designed to show you how to live in total victory, and designed for you to experience consecutive victory. In order to experience consecutive victory, you have to know what it takes to win. I often say that as great a player as Patrick Ewing was, he can never tell anyone what it takes to be a champion because he's never won a championship in the NBA. Michael Jordan, on the other hand, can tell us not only what it takes to be a champion, but how it feels to experience consecutive victories. That is victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. And the Lord gave this to me because he wants his people to be in the proper position to experience a life of victory. He wants his people to experience everything that he has for them so that we can come out of the wilderness and finally take permanent residence, Lord, in the land of promise. Here's the first principle that you need to understand and that you're going to have to grab hold to. The first thing you need to know is to learn what a victorious life looks like. Learn what a victorious life looks like. How do we define a victorious life? How do we know when we have stepped out of defeat and into victory? Is it when we have abundance that we are experiencing victory? Not necessarily, because you can be rich and unfulfilled. Is it when you have achieved all of your career goals, or when you've made up, you've climbed up the corporate ladder, or when you've turned your business into a multi-million-dollar company? Not necessarily, because you can achieve all of those goals and still not have even tapped into your life's purpose. Here is my definition for a victorious life. A victorious life is a life of success in a struggle against all odds. A victorious life is a life of success in a struggle against all odds. Look at this definition. A life of success in a struggle against all odds. It's not a one-time and it's over success. It's not a single event, but it's a lifetime of victory after victory. It's not a place, but it's a journey of victory. Then it says a life of success in a struggle against all odds. You can't have victory without struggle. Struggle makes or breaks you. A victorious life is a life of freedom. It is a life for freedom from circumstances. When your life is victorious, you don't worry as much about adverse circumstances because you know the God of victory is on your side, and that if he's on your side, then he will make sure that everything works out because he's in control. So you don't lose it when the storms come and when the winds blow and the waves are overflowing. You can rest peacefully because you know that at the command of his voice, the winds must cease, and at his command, the waters must be stilled. You know that in any moment, he's going to cry out, "Peace be still." A victorious life is also a life of freedom from folk. Yeah, once you get delivered from people, you can experience true victory. Certain people will not be able to share in your victories, especially since, and I hope I don't make any enemies, but especially since there are some folk who are scared of you being victorious. Your time of victory marks the end of their reign over you. They now have to change what they say about you. They can't say you're broke anymore. They can't say that you're depressed anymore. They can't say you're bound anymore. They can't say you're the same anymore. Why? It's because I have victory over people. I had to learn how to release folk from my spirit. Did you know that if when a certain individual enters a room and it causes you to change your mood, then you have empowered that person to rule your emotions? If you were smiling up until the time she came over and then all of a sudden your mood is soured, then you have empowered her to keep you mad. Nobody will ever be able to have that much power over me again. I'm walking in victory over folk. Trying to impress people will keep you where you are. It'll keep you single. It will shake your marriage and keep your relationship shaky. You better learn how to be free from folk. A victorious life is a life that overcomes. I said earlier that there is no victory without struggle. However, if you're in the struggle right now and you don't stop struggling, then you have not been overcome yet. It takes you to keep struggling and wrestling and fighting for your breakthrough, because as soon as you stop, then the enemy has won. But if you keep fighting, if you keep pushing, if you keep praying, if you keep praising while you're struggling, then you can get an edge over the enemy and experience the type of victory that says that I was not overcome, but I overcame. You got to know what victory looks like. It's a life of victory over war. It's a life of war. It's a violent life. The analogy that Paul uses to describe a victorious life is a conqueror. He says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That designates a warrior. We are greater than warriors are after a battle. A boxer will never get the championship belt if he doesn't fight a certain amount of fights to qualify to contend for the championship belt. We have to stop being so scared of the enemy and learn how to fight him and learn how to roll with the punches that he throws, because we're not going to get victory without a fight. Here's number two, and this is what you need to really, really get. Number two, accept that today's actions determine tomorrow's victory. Except that today's actions determine tomorrow's victory. The reason why we are where we are today is because of what we did or didn't do on yesterday. Our present condition has come as a result of past decisions, decisions that were made rashly, decisions that were made without wise counsel, decisions that were made yesterday that we can't even explain. Those decisions have served to jeopardize our future. And we can't blame everything, all our present problems on the devil either. The devil is getting more credit than he deserves. Sure, he's trying to sift us as wheat, and he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But most of our problems come as a result of ourselves. The devil can't make you do anything. In fact, the Holy Ghost can't make you do anything. It's of your free will that you make decisions. So before we get into a pity party about the devil keeping us from being where we should be by now, we have to look at ourselves, because we have to deserve victory. Yeah, I think you thought I was just going to say God's going to give it to you. No, but victory only comes to those who work at it. It comes to those who work long and hard at it, to those who are willing to press beyond what others would do. It comes to people who make personal sacrifices to achieve the desired end. They pay the price in blood, sweat, and tears. Everybody wants to be victorious. Yeah, even the most depressed, pessimistic, pitiful person wants to win. I don't know anybody who wants to lose at life, but everybody doesn't deserve to be victorious. Please get this. If you want to experience victory in your life, then you have to pay the price of victory. If you want to experience victory in your life, then you have to pay the price of victory, because victory costs. I know a lot of folk who want victory as it relates to their health. They want to lose weight. They want to firm up. They want to keep diabetes and blood pressure problems in check. However, they don't want to pay the price. You want to lose weight, then you can't. Then you know that you can't continue to eat whatever you want to eat. You can't continue to have great feasts late at night. You can't continue to eat, work, play, work, play, and sleep without exercising 3 hours of the week. There are 168 hours in every week, and you can't sacrifice 3 to 6 hours to have victory in your health. The reason why we're where we are physically today is because we didn't put it in check yesterday. So if you want something different, you got to do something different. Stop looking for the easy way out. There are no shortcuts to this. You can take this wonder pill that says you can eat whatever you want, but at the end of the day, you're still not victorious, because you're still doing the same thing. And nothing meaningful or lasting comes without working hard at it. You want victory in your finances? Okay, then deserve it. Prove that you can budget your monthly income. You know how much you make a month, and if you can't handle the little money you're making, then why would God give you millions? Hey, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. You have to deserve victory. Victory is not like grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. However, victory has to do with you. You must deserve it. There are certain things that you must do to ensure victory. When we don't do our part, we don't give God anything to work with. We got to do whatever it takes to earn victory. Now, remember what I said. I'm almost through. Remember what I said. What you do today will determine your tomorrow. How you pray today will determine the results you see tomorrow. Do you know the reason that most of us made it through our backslidden states was because of the prayers that our mothers and fathers prayed on yesterday? It was because of the prayers they prayed over us as we were sleeping, and as children, oblivious to their presence. Lord, keep your hands on my baby. Don't let them slip away. Cover her with your blood. And even when we had left the church, our parents and grandparents prayed that the Lord would keep us, and that he would protect us, and that he would bring us back to where we're supposed to be. Keep praying, because you're not praying just for today. You're praying for your tomorrow. I wasn't going to go here, but the way you praise today will determine your outcome on tomorrow. Yeah, I know you're going through right now. I know that you're sick right now, but God is still looking at the way that you praise today. Praise is the language of faith, and when you praise in the midst of your trouble, the ground begins to shake. And when you praise while you're bound, the walls begin to fall. When you praise in the face of calamity, the devil gets confused, because everything he threw at you, he could not stop you, because you're still praising God. You gotta make sure that you're handling your business today so that you can get your harvest on tomorrow. And here's finally my last principle. Know that God expects us to live a life of overwhelming victory. God expects us to live a life of overwhelming victory. How many of you want overwhelming victory? Victory that overwhelms the devil. Victory that overwhelms those folk who said you weren't going to make it. Victory that even overwhelms you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We can't have a life of victory outside of God. Our victory lies in the love that God has for us. The victory that we have over death is because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The victory that we have over sin is because God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. The victory we have over sickness is because Jesus loved us enough to endure getting torturous beatings, which provided stripes whereby we are healed. So understand that our connection to a victorious life is in Christ and in our decision to walk in victory. That should make us want to get in place. That should make us want to get in the right position, because victory is waiting for you. I showed you that the love of Christ is what makes us victorious. So you can't let nothing come between the connection of you and Christ. Don't let nothing come between you and victory. Don't let tribulation come between you and victory. Don't let distress come between you and victory, or persecution or lean time. Don't you dare let calamity come between you and death. As long as you're connected, then you have unlimited power supply. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can't get beyond being connected to Christ. So until you become like Paul, that I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor death, or any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want a life of victory, so I can't let you stop me from being what God wants me to be. I want a life of victory, so I can't let the devil stop me from walking in my promise. I want a life of victory, so I can't let myself stop me from being victorious. I find myself sometimes driving around singing songs of old that a lot of people don't sing anymore, but these songs, they taught us something. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you got to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Then yesterday on my way home, I was singing, victory is mine. Hallelujah. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. I told Satan, you can't have my joy. I told Satan, he can't have my peace. I told Satan, he can't have my family. I told Satan, he can't have my mind, because victory today is mine. It is up to you to walk in the victory that God has given us on today. And I'm telling you that I will not accept defeat ever again in my life, because I want overwhelming victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for this time. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Mom, Dr. PK, and my big sister, Dr. Vanessa. We appreciate you all as well. I hope this word in some way touched you or blessed your life. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for victory. Thank you, son. Thank you so very much for allowing God to use you this morning. We're walking in victory. We're walking. I am P.K. Roberts, walking in victory this morning. Be prepared to come right back here in a few moments to close us in prayer and put a seal on this word. Tiffany, are you there? I need you to come.
I am, Dr. P.K. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Come right quick and give us our announcements, and then Pastor Chuck is going to close us in prayer.
Amen. To God be the glory. We are walking in victory. Do not forget, tonight is the artist corporate call. We are transforming the world here in California on this Saturday, the 29th of September. Don't forget, immediately following this call, we have the motivation call with Platinum President Godmother Dorothy Cook, and that number is 605-475-4700. The PIN code 476-895. The replay number for this message today is 712-432-1085, and the same PIN code that you use to call in. Please don't forget to email us your prayer request, your praise report to the Master's Morning Call at gmail.com. Back over to you, Pastor Chuck, to close this call out in prayer. To God be the glory, and let's go out and be victorious today.
Thank you, my dear sister Tiffany. God bless you, love. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this call. We thank you for the founders of this company. We thank you, oh God, for the leaders of this company and for every person who's a part of this wonderful, wonderful organization. I ask now, God, that you will begin to allow your word to stir up faith and build us up like never before. Bless us, oh God. As we even lift up these requests to you, let everything that has been submitted, oh God, these petitions, we lift them up to you, and we know, oh God, that you have already given us victory. Those who have been sick are praying for sick loved ones. God, I thank you that you've given us victory over sickness already. Hallelujah. And we claim it and we walk in it, that this will be the very best week of our lives, that even though the enemy has come up against us, we know, oh God, we have a certain swag because we will not walk in defeat no longer in our lives. Let this, oh God, be a day of prosperity. Let unexpected checks come and unexpected opportunities come towards us, oh God. And we give you the glory for it even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord.
God bless you.